Audiences back home.
Listen to the Urban Cafe.
First of all, what you are doing is monumental. And you all are literally, with this show, you have literally created something out of nothing. And everybody can do that. I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture, but you are also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives. And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
Why did you decide to join us this morning here at the Urban Cafe?
The Urban Cafe.
Urban Cafe.
It's the Urban Cafe, baby.
Get ready to enjoy the best of the Urban Cafe.
What is black? Black is me, black is you. Black is manifested in everything that we do. Black is the slave ship load, the long, hard road we traveled barefoot so that truth would unfold. Black is the cry of black babies separated from their mothers. Legions of brother and sister that have never met one another. What is black? Black is me, black is you. Black is manifested in everything that we do. Black is the love that has endured and matured, is tried and tested and still stands majestic. From slave times to picket lines, two lovers of one mind, black couples have survived by standing side by side. What is black? Afrocentric, rhythmic harmonies we brought with us from black colonies, which gave birth to rock and roll and jazz. Yes, we gave birth to rock and roll and jazz. And if we did not create it, then we certainly gave it pizzazz with the swing of the hips and luscious full lips. My beautiful black sisters took over movie scripts. Yeah, showed others the real meaning of what it meant to be an actress. What is black? Dorothy Dandridge, Lena Horne, Pam Grier, Jasmine Guy, Sarah Vaughan, Catherine Dunham, Patti LaBelle, Aretha Franklin. I watch my list swell with Jada, Tina, Whoopi, Oprah. They come in all shades, dark like even mocha. What is black? Black is me, black is you. Black is manifested in everything that we do, to the way we make our statement, to our meetings in basements. Who else could bring life to such a color so basic? What a colorful race. What a wonderful taste I get when I kiss the cheek of a black face, or the pride that I feel when I hear the voice of Malcolm. See a picture of Martin, I know that I can climb the highest mountain. In you, I see myself as black is manifested. I give thanks and praise to God for the power that is invested in me to overcome any and all obstacles. And after a brief study of my history, there is nothing deemed impossible. What is black? Black is me, black is you. Black is manifested in everything that we do, how we communicate, how we relate. They criticize Igbonics because what they do not know, they hate. Yes, we change our slang, rearrange the game, and for years they tried to stop what they could only contain. They disregarded our loyalty, trashed our poetry, labeled us slaves, but our roots scream royalty. Inside of each drug fiend is a form of queen and king hidden beneath desires of materialistic things, and I am what is black. I'm a composition of chemicals that have all blended well, that should be classified as a miracle. I am my father's diligence, my mother's spirit, my brother's humor, and my sister's appearance. I'm Shaka Zulu's audacity, Booker T's charisma. How I gained Thurgood's confidence still remains an enigma. I am Tony Dungy's patience, Marvin Lewis's stare. Representatives of my traits are displayed everywhere in magazines, radio, book, TV. What Hollywood has adapted was stolen from our streets. So what exactly is black? Black is me. Black is you. Black describes the events that my people have gone through and still emerge victorious as the leaders of the pack. And there are many, many other colors. But the root of all is black.
But Mr. Trump is tearing away the skin of the onion of white civility. And the more he pulls the skin of that onion back, he's beginning to show something in the character of the whites that follow him, that they don't care what he says. He could say one thing this minute, another thing the next minute, and you could see that the man has a little problem. But he is exacerbating the race situation in America. And I will guarantee you, if he becomes president, he'll take America exactly where America is heading. He'll take you there on a rocket ship.
There's so many shootings nowadays that when you see one on the TV, it's not really, it's gotten to the point where you don't really feel anything. Like, you see that 10 people were murdered and it's just like, oh, well.
It's unfortunate, but it is kind of like your new normal, in a sense.
Yeah, it definitely is. And when you see like tragedies like that, not even just shootings in school, but like when you see murders happen anywhere and you see them on the television, it's really not, like, you don't feel anything anymore. It's just another day.
Everyone's like used to shootings like every day and used to being people being killed, and like there's a lot of the young people who are focused on getting gun control and gun reform and making sure something happens, but to educate other people on that and like through the smallest things, like I do it on my social media, like I use that as my platform. That's what I've been doing since the march, and I can tell you, like, I've changed a lot of people's minds just through what I post, and like a lot of like things that will make you change your mind and like that shock you. Like, I don't know, like one of them was like that we have to take standardized tests, but it's easier to get a gun and like they don't have to take tests for it. I mean, they do, but like it's way easier. How many steps there is to get a gun, how many steps there is to get a license. It could get to the point where everyone in their workplaces is armed because they're afraid that they're gonna be a shooting instead of just having gun control. And if they tell us when we're younger to not fight fire with fire, how are they gonna tell us to fight guns with guns?
Active shooters safety tips. I want you to stop right now and ask yourself, do I know how to protect myself and survive an active shooter attack? Although there are no perfect answers or solutions to this question, here are some tips that might save your life. Number one, always listen for strange or different noises in the workplace. Stay alert. Number two, if you hear shooting, loud bangs, or screaming, immediately get down on the floor, belly down. Try and turn off the lights if possible, and turn off all cell phones. Do not go toward the noises you just heard. When you lay on the floor, try and lay on the side of the door hinges. That is considered a safe zone in an active shooter attack because of the wall makeup, door mounts, and angle of the weapon being fired. When terrorist active shooters shoot, while they are going through a building, they mostly shoot through walls and doors waist high and up. Number three, if you hear shots fired, immediately barricade your door with desks, books, chairs, refrigerators, or if possible, the giant office water bottles. FYI, anytime a bullet hits the water, it slows down the velocity of the bullet, decreasing its accuracy and impacts power. Number four, if you get a chance to run, get to a stairway. Run in a zigzag pattern so the shooter won't have a clear shot. If you pull the alarm while running, it will confuse and distract the shooter and call emergency help at the same time. Remember, law enforcement has to respond to the fire department and EMS. Number five, if and when you make it outside of law enforcement, please run toward those with your hands and arms high in the air with palms open and fingers spread apart. Remember, law enforcement officers will be anxious, edgy, and hyped up, so they will be looking at everybody's hands to see if they're open or not. If you can, once you're safe, try to give law enforcement a description and location of the shooter. Number six, minutes. If you survive longer than that, your chances of living through an active shooter attack have increased immensely. I'm Maya Carpenter, and those are your active shooters safety tips.
WMNF Tampa. it's your girl Marilyn Shaw. Thank you for tuning to 88.5 WMNF. Sorry we're not here with you, the Urban Cafe, but tune in to next week for our latest topics.
Pure Love Foundation in association with WMNF 88.5 FM presents Righteous Rockers Music Festival featuring Papa San, King of the Dance Hall, Roots Rock Reggae Sensation, Wayne Stunnart, Keeping It Loud, DJ Nicholas, and the Dancehall Diva, Kerry Diamond. Also the cool compa vibes of award-winning Evangel Band, Don Benza, Guinness World Record Freestyle Holder, Cicely Styles, Itty, Wingy Danger, Randy Freeman, featuring the newest member of the 116 Click, 1K View. Also, other performances featuring Concept 7, hosted by Tampa's own MC Urban D, back to school giveaways, and lots more. A variety of ethnic food, children, water park, play area. This is all happening at the Waterworks Park in Tampa Bay. For more information, log on to www.righteousrockersmovement.com or call 803-820-1446. The one you lit, set off.
This is Walter L. Smith II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area, your host for the Sunday Forum. Join me and the members of my Fourth Estate crew on WMNF 88.5 FM from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We will bring you the best in quality programming as we discuss politics, social issues, introduce new artists, and have plain old intelligent conversation. Tune in to the Sunday Forum on WMNF 88.5 FM from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Watch us live on the Sunday Forum Facebook page. Don't miss it.
You're invited to come to WMNF for our birthday open house. WMNF turns 39 on Friday, September 14th, and we're inviting our community to come celebrate. The open house is from 6 to 9 p.m. here at our studios, 1210 East Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Tampa. You can bake a cake or bring a dessert to share. It's really wonderful when people do that. Get a tour of the station, meet the voices you hear all the time, see what's going on, and hang out with other great WMNFers. For more information, please call 813-238-8001, visit WMNF.org, or email help@WMNF.org. Thank you for all the years of love, and we hope to see you on Friday, September 14th, here at WMNF.
Now back to the best of the Urban Cafe.
Good morning. This is Tune here at the Men's Health Forum, and we have just run into Dr. Green. Dr. Green, please tell us your title and what you're doing here today.
So my title is Vice President for Diversity and Public Relations at the Moffitt Cancer Center. And we are just so excited every time this event rolls around to see all the men show up. It's just exciting because we know that men's health is one of those areas that we struggle with. And we try to get men thinking a lot more about their health because it's so important.
Yes, sir. Now, it's, as you mentioned, it's really important for men to be aware of their health and how they can benefit themselves by coming to this event. But it's, how long has this event been running?
Wow, this event has been going on for over 10 years, probably 12 years. And we have continued to try to keep it going because we know it's so important. We always think each year that the men will not show up, but every year men continue to show up, which is phenomenal, which means that men do care about their health. A lot of people feel like men are, you know, not wanting to do the things necessary. But all you have to do is look around to see hundreds and hundreds of men come to talk about their health, which is phenomenal.
Absolutely.
That is awesome, Dr. Green. And when I walked in, I saw so many men, and it was just a great sight to see them ready to come in here and get their screenings. What are some of the top health concerns that you want to just put out there as being important for men to get their screenings for?
Well, the number one area, obviously, is prostate cancer, particularly among minority men. And it's important for men to have that conversation with their physician to talk about if indeed I need to be screened. And that's the first thing, is to have the conversation. And they may not need to be screened, but at least start that conversation with their physician. It's very, very important. The other thing that we see quite a bit of is obesity and nutrition, lack of exercise. And those are just the basic things that men need to pay attention to, and not just men, just the general population as well.
That's awesome information. Thank you for giving that to us. And I know these men are going to get some great screenings done and be ready to move forward with their health. So thank you for being here.
Now, Dr. Green, I do have a question. For all of the men that are not here today, where can they find more information on what's going on today?
All they have to do is go to our website, moffitt.org, and they can get all the information they need about men's health and cancer in general. That's moffitt.org.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Green. We appreciate your time today, and we'll be seeing you around.
You're listening to the best of the Urban Cafe.
WMNF Tampa.
Hello, I am Dr. K, and I am here at the Moffitt Cancer Center's Men's Health Forum, and I'm standing here with a young lady. Can you tell us who you are?
Sylvia Gray, and I'm from Transformation Christian Church, and we are participating in the forum, and we're promoting healthy living. We have a book with recipes, supermarkets that sell healthy food. We're advertising exercise. We are having our second annual golf outing and dinner. And we're here to help any way we can.
That is fantastic. Now, it sounds like you're a church that's really involved in wellness, health and wellness.
Yes.
How long have you guys been involved with health and wellness and with this particular forum?
We're a fairly new church. We're 2 years old. And we're working with Moffitt. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a women's and teenage health fair at our church. And we're going to do mammography. They're bringing the portable mammography. They're going to have information for teenagers. So we're doing everything we can to help in the community.
That's awesome.
WMNF 88.5 FM proudly presents the new public affairs show, The Urban Cafe, starting Sunday, 9 a.m.
My thing is that I've always been this heavy-handed, opinionated person. And as I'm growing, I've always learned to respect the opinions of other people and to respect the fact that we all have different perspectives. But right. When we're in this room with nine people and we got a lot of listeners, you really have to apply that respect factor because, one, it's impossible to listen to two, three people talking at the same time. Right. And then at the end of the day, we're a team and we have to build that camaraderie. We have to be here every week so we can't build beef with one another, so we have to figure out a way to express our views and our opinions respectfully without it turning into a personal issue between all of us. So
right.
It's been a great exercise for me because it's been teaching me socially how to respect people with different views and opinions, no matter how strongly you may feel about a topic, like the gun topic, Zach.
Leave your comments at the Urban Cafe, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. here on WMNF.
Thank you for listening to the best of the Urban Cafe.
This is Tune, and we're here at the Moffitt Cancer Center Men's Health Forum, and we're here speaking into the Head Start program here with the Men's Project. Sir, why don't you tell me your name and what you're doing here today?
All right, my name is Troy Smith, and I'm with Hillsborough County Head Start, Early Head Start. What we do is we have a program where we try to get Head Start fathers or father figures involved into the children's lives. Once you enroll into the Head Start program, we have a program called the HIM program, His Involvement Matters, where we do programs and educational trainings like cooking with dads, where we have a nutritionist come in and they develop menus, where the fathers and the kids can develop a menu and cook together, things like that. We do bowling with dads, just to get those fathers the opportunity to have that experience and bonding with their kids and give up just an opportunity to be with their children.
That's great. When I saw your poster, I became really interested. I think it's a great, great concept that you guys are implementing. Tell us, what types of health issues have you, seen in your community where you've had people coming to the Head Start program, and what are you advocating for?
Well, what we do is we advocate for low-income families, try to get them to be their own advocate for their own health issues and things of that nature. We just try to give them the opportunity and to share with them what's in the community, the things they can find out, just like other venues that are here today, that those venues are out there for them to come and experience their health experiences and just to work with them and have a healthier life. And the longer they live, the longer their kids live, just to be involved in their kids' life.
It's your girl, Marilyn Shaw. Thank you for tuning to 88.5 WMNF. Sorry we're not here with you, the Urban Cafe, but tune in to next week for our latest topics.
WMNF 88.5 FM proudly presents the new public affairs show, The Urban Cafe, starting Sunday, 9 a.m.
But, however, they are unable to vote.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more.
Well, in 2011, the Florida Board of Executive Clemency reversed the 2007 policy that changed automatically restored voting rights to nonviolent offenders upon the completion of their sentence. The new policy requires that all ex-felons wait 5 years for nonviolent felons, 7 years for violent felons to apply to regain their voting rights.
Leave your comments at the Urban Cafe, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. here on WMNF.
You're listening to the best of the Urban Cafe.
Hello, this is Dr. K with the Urban Cafe, and we are at the Moffitt Cancer Center's Men's Health Forum. It's been an exciting day, and I am standing here with a wonderful gentleman. Can you give us your name and where you're from?
Sure, Brett Davis, originally from Brooklyn, New York.
Originally from New York?
Yes.
Yes, that's why we connect. So, Brett, very nice to have you here. Tell us what has brought you here to the forum today.
Well, I don't have any health insurance, so I usually come to this event every year. I started coming since it was labeled the Black Men's Health Forum originally, and then expanded to just the Men's Forum. So initially, my real reason today is coming for the prostate exam voucher, because I need to get my prostate checked.
Absolutely, and so you're staying on top of your health. Right. And you've been, because I hear you mention that this is something that's been going on for a while when it was just for the Black men,
right.
And now we're incorporating all men, so
right.
Fabulous. So you've got your personal experience. What would you tell someone who is thinking about, they may be hearing this or watching us talk about this, and what would you tell someone who's thinking about coming out to get screening? Is this, you know, someplace that you would refer them to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a lot of it's a lot of booths here. It's a lot of information. And, I mean, it's free. It's a service to the community. So, you know, I find it helpful. I mean, a lot of professional people. I mean, you know, you can either even network. And you can learn a lot about health. And so I definitely recommend I come every year. And I tell people about it, you know, a handful of people that I get in contact with. So I definitely recommend it.
That's great. So keep bringing people
yeah.
if you can. That's wonderful. So we'll wrap that up. And I'm so happy that we got a chance to talk a little bit. And we look forward to seeing this grow in the future years to come. So
yeah.
thank you for talking to us.
Yep. Thank you.
LDE's personal property security tips. During these summer days, a lot of people will be traveling and vacationing. Therefore, there will be a lot of credit card usage, which includes swiping, pressing, copying, and inserting your credit card in many different types of machines. Remember, as LDE stated before in previous security tips, professional thieves come to Florida to prey on the tourists and locals every year this time and can accumulate up to millions of dollars in debt, merchandise, and theft of one's property. A lot of this theft is created by fraud, robbery, and rental scams. Here are a few security tips to remember. Number one, buy yourself an RFID wallet or purse. It is a blocking shield which blocks out transmitting waves that try and retrieve your credit card information. Number two, don't hold conversations with people at the gas pumps. Most professional criminals attempt to start a conversation while they are stealing your credit card information from the pump or your wallet. Number three, try not to bump into strangers. They can pickpocket you or steal your information with the electronic device that they are wearing. Number four, stop telling strangers at rest stops or gas stations where you are from where you are going. A professional could track you down and do harm to you and your family because you just gave them a time frame. Number five, try not to travel alone on the highways. It's always safer with more than one person. Number six, try not to travel through unknown territory like rural areas. It could cost you your life. Number seven, try and use cash in certain areas and don't use big bills that draw attention to yourself. Number eight, don't go to a place where they are still using an ink copier to run your credit card. There is no way that your credit card information is protected. I'm Maya Carpenter, and these are your LDE's safety tips.
Juju made a comment about, we were talking about school or, and trying to get kids engaged. And again, I've always been one. I've been in music for so long. Since rap started, I've been following rap, but I've also listened to other things. But one of the things I'm more passionate about really is probably rap music, because I understand the significance it has in shaping young people's lives. You know, you have a lot of young people who don't have two parents in the house. Some don't have any. And a lot of times they get their cues and their life lessons from music and movies and books. But a lot of more are these young kids or have access to music, you know, almost the moment they get up, whether they turn on the radio or turn on the TV to watch a video or on their phones or on their headbuds. So I believe, me personally, that music is becoming one of the most important tools to shaping these young people's ideas when they don't have the necessary resources or mentors in their life. And so I'm always, although I love the music, I'm also very critical about what it's doing to our society, because I see it play out in real life. And so, as a matter of fact, offline, me and you had a conversation about Cardi B. And, you know, a lot of people think that now that Cardi B has finally made it and she's, you know, rich, that's a good thing. And I was like, well, look what she had to do to get there. You know, how many of us would want our daughters to travel that path to get there? And how long would that richness last at that level? And so with that being said, I thought, you know, one of the more important things is for us as adults is to look at how we can encourage young people to make better choices earlier in their lives so they don't end up having to go to a strip club to get a record deal. You know, they could find their ways into legitimate fields of work, career paths, and go that route.
I'm a music producer myself, and, you know, I've been doing it for a while. You know, although I'm, you know, I know that everything has its season. You know, everything's digital nowadays, so you have to go with the digital equipment. But I think that, you know, with the technology, it's making too many producers, music producers. In order to be a music producer or musician, you have to be special. But if you can master a computer program and you can produce a hit CD, it's taken away from the craftsmanship, the talent. It is, you know, because back in the day, to produce a hit record, you had to play an instrument. You had to know timing.
Right.
You have to be an engineer. You have to have an engineer's ear. All that is gone now. All you have to do nowadays is master Pro Tools, Cubase, et cetera, and everybody on the block has a CD. Now, don't get me wrong. Although this is my opinion, I do love hip-hop music. I love music of today. But I think with technology, you know, it's taken away from the real musicians, quote-unquote, because it's just too easy to produce.
Regarding music like that and such, it's the fact that there's still good music out there, and I call it music mining, because a lot of people just go by what's presented to them instead of just searching for good music and finding those artists that actually put out a quality product. You know, there's a music festival that I go to every year in Atlanta, and they vet their artists very well. Every so often, yeah, one slips through the cracks because they have good buzz. And to me, good buzz isn't always a good thing.
They call me the rhythm rider, the soul survivor, because my soul has survived and hit its stride way before its time. The rhythm rider, the soul survivor, because my soul has survived and hit its stride way before its time. In the beginning was the rhythm. The earth was null and void except for this one simple noise. Boom, 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 boom. The heartbeat of mankind, which provided the beat in order for me to produce my first masterpiece, which I entitled Life. The life and times of righteous rhymes and righteous lines were constructed as the Most High conducted a natural symphony, an epiphany of raindrops and animal sounds. I performed as the tiger growled. I organized a tune as a wolf howled at the moon, and soon came the creation of instruments, because it only made sense that I be allowed to ride more rhythm. So by my request, a tambourine was given. Then came flutes and harps. I wasn't even trying when I sounded the trumpet in Zion. Really, that was an accident. But since the beat was fly, who was I not to represent? And I know you probably won't believe this, but I was the opening act for Jesus when he toured the Middle East. Matter of fact, the disciples did the beats, and I rocked the crowd, and the crowd was so loud, and I rocked the crowd, and the crowd was so loud, and I rocked the crowd, and the crowd was so loud that a law was passed and poetry wasn't allowed. And from that point on, I was simply known as the Rhythm Rider, the soul survivor, because my soul has survived in its stride way before its time. The Rhythm Rider, the soul survivor, because my soul has survived in its stride way before its time. Although I had been banned in Asia, I was told that Africa was feeling my flavor, so I journeyed to Egypt. Queen Nefertiti had requested to see me because she deeply needed a soul release. So I performed a piece that put her at such peace that she ordered a work stoppage for a week. And sacred virgins would speak, "Surely he must have tongues of flames, for we feel such heat." It's for this very reason that Nefertiti and I journeyed to the Red Sea, where she asked to marry me. Well, she promised to show me the hidden time portal that would make me immortal, and on our wedding day, I would become king of all that I survey. Yet what did I say? Nothing, because I dreaded being beheaded if I said no. So on the night we were to return to Egypt, I skated away and traded away two of my poems for a nomad's caravan. I dressed myself in their garments and proceeded to cross the sands and land in West Africa, Ghana to be exact. And as I unpacked, the children chanted that I was the Rhythm Rider, the soul survivor, because my soul has survived and destroyed way before its time. The Rhythm Rider, the soul survivor, because my soul has survived and destroyed ride way before its time. In Ghana, I became a griot, passing down history lessons and blessings to the next generation. Yet one day, in the midst of a demonstration, I was interrupted by the sound of a cannon. Immediately, I thought of the last words Jesus had spoke to me. He drew me in closely and warned me that the descendants of Caesar would be men of evil. They would rape my land and enslave my people. And the only way to overcome their wicked system was to find freedom within the rhythm. So I wrote poems and telepathically sent them to victims. I wrote poems and telepathically sent them while they whipped them. I wrote poems and memorized them. And while they colonized them, I revitalized them. And I harmonized men while they work. Through blood, sweat, and dirt, I found a place where the whip has no sting. Your noose cannot hold what is within my soul, and try as you might, you are not in control. My insight is fully manifested by what I write. From plantations to housing projects, my ghetto urban street tales will prevail. No matter how much drugs you sell, no matter how much anthrax you mail, no matter how much you lust to steal my ancestry, y'all. Their best shot was Elvis Presley, and we took that and came back with rap. I don't die, I multiply and touch every place on the map, demanding that my voice is heard. And in case you are wondering who is behind the spoken word, the Rhythm Rider, the soul survivor, because my soul has survived and destroyed way before its time, meaning that I am both new and old. My soul has roamed the earth in search for centuries, before God and Satan had no chemistry, before headaches had no remedies, before the Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee, before there was a conspiracy to kill Kennedys, before black people started drinking Hennessy, before I even knew that this poetry thing was in me, I existed. And I will continue to exist and excel until my people's mental health comes to an end. Until then, you can catch me every Sunday night on community radio, WMNF 88.5, from 8 to 9 p.m. on Poetry Is, with my co-hosts playing spoken word and laughing. Eyes closed, mind focused on nothing but time traveling.
Hi, this is Ebony of the Urban Cafe, and I want you to join me for breakfast every Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on WMNF 88.5, where we'll be serving food for thought. In a sense, we'll be discussing topics such as relationships, education, health, and finance. And if you're up on your entertainment news and current events, we'll be serving that too. You can always pull up a chair and join us by email at theurbancafe@gmail.com.
Welcome to the Urban Cafe. This is the Shiznit. Let's turn up in this. This is what you missed.
You've been in, now none of us but you have been a professional athlete, so you have the insight we don't have. And we sit back and we watch on television and we watch things and we see these athletes. We hear the news bites. We might follow the story. We might go online and read something, but we never know what it's like to walk in those shoes. Mm-hmm. And we hear about all these contracts and all this money that athletes are able to make, and you would think that they're set for life. But then you hear a documentary about athletes going broke like 4 years after getting out of the league, and you kind of wonder, how could that happen?
The number one problem with that is I made $20 million playing. Mm-hmm. And you think of, I retired at 30. That money has to last me until I die. So my granddad is 94. I live until I'm 94. $20 million over 60-something years is not a lot of money. And you don't really take into the large scope that I have to make this last me until I die.
But I would assume that the NFL has a way of actually teaching young players as they come in the league some of this information.
When you own a business, the key is to keep your employees broke. If you give me, Adrian Peterson, when I come out of college, $18 million signing bonus, I can make that $18 million last me for life if I have the financial education. So me as an owner, I'm not going to give you that. I need you to be out here at least for 10, 12 years. I watched Carson Palmer, quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, make them trade him because he told them, I have $70 million in the bank and I will retire unless you trade me. And that's the chips you hold if you're doing the right things with your money, with this money that they're giving.
So tune into the Urban Cafe every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. here on WMNF. Or listen to a replay at www.885urbancafe.com.
This is WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org.
WMNF 88.5 FM proudly presents the new public affairs show, The Urban Cafe.
It was fun, but I'm not a violent person. I don't have violent...
That was three out of the five what?
Skeets. This is the clay pigeons, they're called.
They're clay... Wait a minute. Okay. I was lost for a second. I'm like, okay. Three out of the five skeets.
Skeet.
Oh, okay.
Not the skeet. The
skeets. Just one skeet.
Okay.
Your comments at the Urban Cafe, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. here on WMNF.
Every Sunday morning, 9 a.m., we get together at a table to enjoy conversations with food of thought and a lot of laughs. The community issues are addressed at our community table here on the community radio.
This is on a whole nother level.
Tell me this where you like... get something for free.
88.5 FM, WMNF, every Sunday morning, this is where you should be.
Thank you for listening to the best of the Urban Cafe.
Good morning, and welcome to the Urban Cafe. It's now time to take a look into your relationships.
What the hell that mean, huh?
Ultimately, relationships go bad when we can't talk to each other.
Right. If you let people talk long enough, they'll tell you how they are and who they are.
Right.
You know, don't be asking me about things that I do that I haven't been comfortable enough to answer these kind of things, and you're putting me on the spot having to answer.
Women know if they're going to have sex with you, like,
that
off right away.
Yes. That is absolutely true. Bat.
And it could be on the first date, or they know on the first date they're going to do it, but they might wait till the fourth date. Like, if the female is feeling you, like, it's already in the book.
I don't enjoy that. Like, don't come to the table sitting down pretending like you're this, that, and the third, and you're really not. Like, don't be all happy-go-lucky if really you just ratchet. You know what I mean? I don't like that.
Don't that come with honesty? Like, yeah. If I met you and you a certain weight and you gain some pounds, I feel like I should be able to say something. I'm like, well, you done put on some pounds.
I've been in a relationship like that where the girl would constantly put me down in front of all her people and in front of my people.
That's why I can know what how his mama is. I can see what the sisters look like and what they got going on.
But you can't really base on that because I done met girls or women who are nothing like they family.
Right, but,
like,
but
you don't even know how they even came up in the same household. If you somebody that's known as a freak or whatever you are, I'ma know when we go on a date, don't downplay it. Because obviously I took you on a date because I already knew who you were. I heard about you, so just be who you are, and this date could go like it's supposed to go.
WMNF 88.5 FM proudly presents the new public affairs.
Hi, my name is May from Bel Rico.
Good morning.
Hey, May.
Good morning.
Hi, this is great. This is the first time I've heard the show, so I'm excited.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
And I want to say that with the question or the motion posed, are they walking the walk? The question itself, from my perspective, is a conundrum because Christianity is based solely in the Bible. And the Bible is subject to interpretation. One pastor who believes that to be one with Christ, you have to give up all worldly possessions, completely serve the poor, and walk completely in Christ's shoes, is not better or worse than the pastor who says the Bible touts prosperity. even in that position, regardless if you call yourself a pastor, you have the right to earn money and gather riches and gather wealth. The book itself is completely interpretive. It has completely contradicting theories and philosophies on everything from rape to creation to slavery to murder to psychic notions. So I think people are doing what they want to do anyway and finding a good car to get them there.
Hello, this is Ed. Can you hear me?
Hey,
yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm from Tampa. It's very riveting that something you guys haven't said this morning. But my thing I wanted to say mostly is that I want to encourage people to not be discouraged about going to church because maybe it looks like there's some fraud going on. Church is designed for your spiritual needs, and the person in that pulpit may be able to bring you the message, but they may not be the person who is living right themselves. But we have to look for those consistencies, just as my sister was saying a minute ago. Look for those inconsistencies, and when you see those inconsistencies, more than likely, start asking questions, and ask the questions. If you can't get answers from those questions, then maybe it's time to start looking for another church.
Absolutely. So
my word.
Absolutely.
God bless you all.
Thank
we definitely
you.
Appreciate it. Calling Urban Cafe. Good morning.
George Bush put in place something called the Faith-Based Initiative, which is where churches could apply for federal money. They had to meet certain federal guidelines and be subject to federal scrutiny, which involves federal agents as members of your church on the inside observing everything you do. So, to me, religion nowadays has lost the fervor and the spark and the divine inspiration, like Elijah, Elisha, Jesus Christos, Moses, brothers like that. The churches don't represent that nowadays. They are tax-free corporations.
We're delighted you decided to join us this morning here at the Urban Cafe.
I'm good. This is Bruce from St. Pete. How are
Bruce,
you doing?
30 seconds for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, an inside view is what you guys were looking for. I'm in the middle of a church that's in transition now. And, you know, just to step away from the Christianity aspect, all spiritual groups, you know, have to run the same way, right? And what I've observed with the people that come to places is they're either there to give or receive. So that's important to know where you're at, number one. And number two is to have the trust in the leadership. If you can't trust the leaderships, then what's going on?
My name is Jewel, and I just want to simply say that we have churches, about 10 churches per block. And if every pastor was doing what they were supposed to be doing, there shouldn't be hunger or starvation here in America or around the world. I don't have anything against pastors making money because they should make money, but I have a problem against any pastors that's not doing the will of God according to the Word of God.
Yeah, this is Clay from Land Lakes. I'm also native Tampan and a recovering Catholic. I want to bring you all back to what you started talking about. We started talking about the possessions that these people that run the mega churches have of their own. This is their stuff. This isn't something from the church. And to think that they earned it, well, let's say they earned it. Let's just give it to them. The reality is that when Jesus came down to earth, He replaced everything in the Old Testament. When you talk about the Bible, you have to realize something else about the Bible. The Bible is a book wrought by the hand of man. It was not written by God. There are tons of books written by other apostles and other disciples of Christ that didn't make it into the Bible because the people that are using the Bible as a mechanism of control didn't want those things to be common knowledge to people. But the reality here is that Jesus Christ would not live like any of these people. Jesus Christ would be giving away the things he earned and got. This is all about money. These people don't pay the churches don't pay taxes, and your guests have pointed out, churches should pay taxes. They should all pay taxes. They're living off the dole. They make lots and lots of money. And I don't want to just leave these mega churches out there. You got the Church of Rome possesses almost a third of the world's gold. They didn't get it because they earned it. They got it because they stole it. During the Holy Crusades and other times as conquerors, you had to give most of the stuff that you collected as an army, as a bane, Britain, you had to give it to the Church of Rome when they were doing the Holy Crusades.
Absolutely.
And that's how the church got it. I mean, you have to look at this thing for what it is. It's out of control. This is never what Jesus Christ intended. People who say they're Christians should act Christ-like.
And Clay, I think you are... I think you made a lot of good points. You know, I really appreciate you giving us a call because you pointed out a lot of things that we may not have said aloud here on the radio station today.
Delighted you decided to join us this morning here at the Urban Cafe.
Hi, this is Lee Bradenton, and I just like to say that each of your topics is so fascinating. The one about the lyrics was just so enlightening, the lyrics of the rap music, and then the one about sexual assault. I'm just asking you, they're each so fascinating that you go back and really do them in depth. Any of these could be all explored from different angle. The one about, I mean, there's so many girls now being raped when they're drunk. Don't we need to educate young men that that's wrong?
Leave your comments at the Urban Cafe, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. here on WMNF.
You are listening to the best of the Urban Cafe.
So the article is called Solutions, Not Suspensions, creates an alternative to doing suspensions. It starts out is talking about that there's recent federal data that shows that Black and Latino students and students with disabilities are disproportionately targeted by suspensions. And they're also more likely to be punished more severely than the white students for minor behaviors. So how do we want our school district to look 2, 3, 5 years down the road? It's going to determine how we have a voice, our board, who is actually carrying out the managerial duties in our district, and how do they see minority students, especially youth of color, Black males. And so we have to change the whole mind perception of how they see our children, because our children is losing, our communities are eroding, and unemployment has gone through the roof for our group of kids.
Good morning. You're listening to the Urban Cafe. Let's check in with an education update.
The majority of today's children and teenagers are using some form of social media, and they're sharing more information about themselves on social networks than ever before. For example, our kids are sharing information such as their location updates, personal pictures, and of course, their personal thoughts and feelings. So I'd like you to consider the following tips to help your child use social media respectfully and responsibly. First, I encourage you to learn about the different social networks that are out there so you know the similarities and the differences. You may even decide to create a profile to experience how these networks work. Number two, remind your child that others are always watching them online. And the moment that they post something, someone can download and circulate the information in an instant, even after they've decided to delete it. Number three, teach your child to avoid discussing problems and disagreements with friends or family on social media. This often makes matters much worse. Number four, keep an eye on your child's social media friends and explain that it is safest to only become friends with people your child actually knows. Warn your child that there are many people out there who've created fake accounts, which is very wrong to do. And there are also sexual predators who look for children and teenagers to try to have inappropriate conversations with. And number five, teach your child about the importance of privacy settings and check their settings regularly. Social media networks constantly update and change their sites, which could change their level of privacy. So tell your child that sharing personal information about themselves, about their family members, such as addresses or phone numbers and other personal identification, is off limits. And last but not least, remind your child that their use of social media is a privilege, so they must use it wisely. This is Dr. K reporting with the Urban Cafe.
Summertime safety tips. Number one, remember, summer is coming and school will be out soon and vacations will begin. This also means that there will be more teenagers and juveniles getting into mischief. This also means that since Florida has so many tourist attractions like Disney, Busch Gardens, and SeaWorld, there will be more tourists and more crimes committed against tourists and senior citizens. Florida's crime increases anywhere between 10.5% to 25% due to school being out and the weather being hotter. There are more violent crimes committed during warmer weather than in colder weather in Florida. More shootings, gang activities, gang recruiting, tourist assaults and battery, car and house burglaries. Number two, when you go shopping at night, especially women, try to have someone with you. Number three, when coming out of stores, don't have merchandise in your cart blocking your view. Criminals don't necessarily always go into the store and steal. Now they have scouts in the parking lot waiting on people to come out with a lot of packages and catch them off guard by robbing them. Number four, always keep one hand free coming out of the store. Number five, stop texting or using Twitter, telling everyone where you are at all times. Everyone doesn't need to know when you're not home. Number six, establish verbal codes to your loved ones in case you're in a bad situation. Number seven, always try and park in a safe and lighted area, even while being pulled over by the police. I'm Maya Carpenter, and those are your summertime safety tips.
There are many issues that we are faced with in our world today, one of them being racial diversity. There are so many different aspects of life that distinguishes us from being individuals, that separates us one from another. But what do we do when we're faced with issues like racial diversity? Here are five tips that may help you. Number one, stay positive. Don't let anyone steal your joy. Number two, always consider the other person's point of view. Number three, there are some issues that puts us in a defensive mode. Try to remain calm and be respectful. Number four, realize that some may not understand your point of view. Address them with kindness and respond, not react. Number five, consider that some are behaving the way they behave because it is a learned behavior. Let's think about these things, consider them, and let's try to change the world one by one. Stay positive, be positive, and encourage others to be positive. I'm Valtrenda with Valtrenda.com and The Urban Cafe.
You're listening to the best of The Urban Cafe.
Good morning, and welcome to The Urban Cafe. It's now time to take a look into your relationships.
This is Valtrenda from Valtrenda.com and The Urban Cafe. Today, I'd like to share with you 10 ways to spot a commitment phobe. Number one, a history of intense relationships that didn't last. This is a person who seemed to never settle down. Number two, seduction. These are the people who have tireless efforts to win you over. Although the attention is flattering, it may be an early warning sign. Number three, losing interest once the chase is over. You know those people who seem to leave after they have text you and called you. Number four, being hot and cold. They spend a lot of time in the beginning trying to chase you, and then they go days without speaking to you. Number five, desire for control. They like to feel one step ahead of the game and tend to take charge of what the couple does. Number six, love of freedom and fear of being tied down. These are the people who tell you, I'm just enjoying my singlehood. I love to be single and I don't want to be tied down. Number seven, unrealistic expectations. These are the people who seem to pick out all of the negative traits after something doesn't go right in the relationship. Number eight, the wandering eye. These are the ones who are consistently checking out other people. Number nine, pulling away when you have the talk. These are the ones who seem to disappear or do not want to have that serious conversation every time you have some vital information to bring up. Number 10,
blaming their partner. Everything seems to be the other person's fault. That way, they have an easy way out. These are just 10 ways to spot a commitment fool. If you see some of these signs, please take heed to the warning. You deserve someone who's going to make you not their number one, but their only one. Again, this is Valtrinda from Valtrinda.com and The Urban Cafe.
Good morning, and thank you for supporting The Urban Cafe. Let's check in with a news update.
Midterm elections were held last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the state of Florida, Rick Scott.
Governor Rick Scott held on to his job.
So you know what they say about democracy? It's messy, but it's absolutely the best form of government there is.
The Florida Division of Elections reports that voter turnout was mediocre. Specifically, in Hillsborough County, only 49% of registered voters cast a ballot. However, the decision-making process moved forward without their participation.
So Amendment 1 is the Florida Water and Land Conservation Initiative.
Amendment 1 passed.
The question on the floor is, has anyone died of medical marijuana? The answer is no.
Amendment 2, a controversial push to make marijuana legal for medical purposes, failed. With just 58% of the voting majority saying yes, pot will not be legally available.